Okay, well, if you please take your Bible and turn with me at this time, we're in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 47 through 52 today. Matthew 13, 47 to 52. Our message series is called Parables of the Kingdom. We are looking at seven parables of Jesus found here in Matthew 13. All of these parables are about the kingdom of God. And one of the things we've seen throughout this series is how Jesus used ordinary, everyday objects in these parables. He used common elements, things such as wheat or weeds or a mustard seed or yeast, in order to teach spiritual truths about the kingdom. And today, Jesus continues that pattern. And in this next parable, he uses the common elements of a fishing net and different types of fish in order to teach us about the kingdom of God, and especially about how the kingdom of God relates to the end of the age. So in Matthew 13, we're going to look at verses 47 through 52 in the course of the message. But for right now, I'm just going to read verses 47 through 54. So if you'll please stand with me now for the reading of God's word. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 47. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is God's holy word. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, we want to be open to your word at all times, but especially when we come to a challenging passage like this. I pray that you would give us open hearts and ears to hear your word, to understand, and to obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So we're looking at these seven parables of Jesus, all found here in Matthew 13. And when you take all seven of these parables together, the parables actually tell us the full sweep of the kingdom of God. Together, they tell us how the kingdom begins, how the kingdom grows. They tell us the various obstacles to growth. They tell us how much we should value God's kingdom. And now today, with the parable of the net, we come to the consummation of the kingdom at the end of the age. We've seen that God's kingdom is his rule over all things. God rules over everything, including sin and sickness and evil. And this parable of the net tells us how at the end of the age, the wicked will be separated from the righteous and punished for their sins. And so this is what we might call a warning parable. It's a warning. It is a clarion call to all who hear not to ignore or reject the call of Christ, but rather to make every effort to enter God's kingdom while you still may. And yes, we've learned that God allows evil and sin to continue in the world for now, but the final judgment is coming when God will judge all evil and sin, and those outside of God's kingdom will be punished for their sins. Now, we don't like these judgment passages of Scripture. We don't like hearing them. We don't like reading them. We don't like them because they remind us that we are accountable to God for our sin. We're accountable to God for our choices and for our actions. You know what? We don't like being accountable, do we? We don't want to be accountable to anyone. We don't like these passages, but they are still an essential part of Scripture. Because judgment is coming whether we like it or not. But here's the thing. God, in his goodness, warns us about the coming judgment. God, in his goodness and in his grace, tells us how we may escape it through Jesus, his Son. And so that's the context we need to look at these passages in. Yes, they're difficult passages. They're challenging passages. But we need to focus on God's goodness and grace in warning us and telling us how we may escape the judgment to come. So let's look into our passage now. First of all, verses 47 and 48, Jesus simply tells us the parable. Jesus tells the parable of the net. Let's take a look at these first two verses. Jesus speaks, "Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away." So Jesus introduces the parable by telling us how the kingdom of heaven is like a net catching fish in the lake. Now, there are a number of different ways of doing net fishing back in Jesus' day, even today. The net that's pictured here is what is known as a dragnet. A dragnet. This was a pretty common way to do fishing back in Jesus' day. You would take a large net that was weighted along the edges, and you could either tie one end to the shore and take the other end out with your boat, or you could take two boats, and each boat would take a part of the net, and you'd pull it out that way. But either way, it would work the same way. Once you had it out in the water, you would drag the weighted ends of the net. They would go down to the bottom of the lake, and you would drag those weighted ends of the net back to shore. And as it comes along, it's just going to gather all those fish with it, right? And trapping them along the way. Now, the net, this was a very common image of judgment in those days. Okay, for example, we read this in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. "You have made men like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe," and here the judgment is that of an evil nation bringing judgment upon another nation, "the wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them in his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad." And so the net is an image of judgment in scriptures. Now there's a similarity in this parable to when Jesus initially called his disciples to follow him. We read this in Matthew 4. Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets. See, they were also fishing with the nets. They left their nets and followed him. The difference here, though, is this. In Matthew 4, Jesus is speaking about evangelism. Here in Matthew 13, today's parable, Jesus is talking about judgment. In Matthew 4, Jesus is talking about his disciples catching people for the kingdom of God. Here in Matthew 13, he's talking about angels gathering people for judgment. Notice that the net in Jesus' parable catches all kinds of fish, right? Now, there are at least 24 species of fish in the Sea of Galilee. And if you were trying to catch one specific type of fish, I imagine you might get just the type of bait that that fish liked and try to catch that fish. But here, what does the net do? It catches all kinds of fish, all different species, good fish, bad fish. And when that net comes dragging across the floor of the lake, there is no discrimination. In the same way, at the end of the age, all persons will appear before God for judgment. We read about this in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. John shares his vision with us. He says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence. There was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books." What does the parable of the net in Revelation 20 tell us? At the end of the age, all will appear before God for judgment, both the living and the dead, both the great and small. There will be no discrimination. There will be no exceptions. The net of God's judgment will sweep through the whole earth, and no one will escape. So that's the first part of the parable. The kingdom of heaven is, it's first of all like a net catching fish in the lake. Then, the second part of the parable, when the net is full, Jesus says, the fishermen collect the good fish in baskets, and they throw the bad fish away. And this second part of the parable, it's very similar, right, to another parable, one of the ones we looked at earlier in Matthew 13. You might remember it, the parable of the weeds. Very similar. In the parable of the weeds, Jesus spoke about good seed and bad seed. Now here he's speaking about good fish and bad fish, but very similar, right? And also in both parables, once you have the good and the bad, there's a separation that takes place. You separate the good from the bad. Go back to Matthew 13, verse 30, the parable of the weeds, where Jesus said this, let both grow together, speaking of the wheat and the weeds, until the harvest. And then at that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn, separating the good from the bad. What do we have in today's parable? Parable of the net. When the net is full, the fishermen, they bring it up on shore, they sit down, and they separate. They collect the good fish in the baskets, they throw the bad fish away. And in the context of the parable here, the bad fish are those that they just couldn't be used. They were unclean or just not suitable for market. Notice also this, that the net is not pulled in until it is full. And remember, this parable is talking about judgment at the end of the age. When will Jesus return? Not until the time is full. Jesus will come back in the fullness of time when this age is completed. So first, Jesus simply just tells us the parable of the net. Very simple. Kingdom of heaven is like a net catching fish in a lake. When the net's full, the fishermen collect the good fish in baskets, they throw the bad fish away. He tells us the parable. Now he goes on to explain the parable for us. That's not a real detailed explanation, not like the parable of the sower or the parable of the weeds. But you know, then again, this is not a real detailed parable either. It's really less of a story parable. It's more of just a very simple comparison. He's just comparing the kingdom of heaven with these fishermen fishing with a net. But let's take a look at his explanation now, verses 49 and 50. This, speaking of the parable, this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so Jesus tells us right up front here, he says, hey, this parable is about what? It's about the end of the age. And once again, this is similar to the parable of the weeds. The parable of the weeds also had a section of it that dealt with the end of the age. Let me go back there again, Matthew 13, verses 39 to 42. After talking about the harvest in the parable, he said, the harvest is the end of the age. Same thing again, right? And the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin, and all who do evil, they will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so you say, well, you know, there's quite a bit of similarities between the parable of the weeds and the parable of the net. Are they teaching the exact same thing? Did Jesus have to tell the same thing in two different parables? Well, they're similar, but there is one main difference between the two parables, okay? And that main difference is this. It's a difference of emphasis. The parable of the weeds, here's the focus. Here's the emphasis. The focus was on the coexisting of good and evil in this present world, right? Jesus said, let both grow together. The parable of the weeds taught us something very important. If Jesus has come, and he has, and if the kingdom of God came with Jesus, and it has, why is there still evil and sin in the world? Because God says, let both grow together. God is patient. He is waiting until the end of time. And so the focus in the parable of the weeds is on the coexisting of good and evil in the present world. But the focus in the parable of the net is the future. The focus is on the separation, finally, of good and evil at the end of the age. Parable of the weeds, good and evil growing together in the present world. Parable of the net, separation of good and evil at the end of the age. Jesus tells us that at the end of the age, the angels will separate the wicked from the righteous. Now, the wicked and the righteous are distinguished in Scripture by their acceptance before God or their lack of acceptance before God. Once again, we know that we are only accepted before God by repentance from sin and faith in Christ. And so when the Bible speaks about the wicked and the righteous and the wicked, the Bible's really talking here about believers and unbelievers. The righteous are believers, those who've put their faith in Christ and they are accepted as righteous in God's sight. The wicked are those who have not put their faith in Christ. They're unbelievers, and therefore they are not accepted before God. Notice the role of the angels in separating the wicked from the righteous at the end of the age. And this agrees with Jesus' other teachings right here in the Gospel of Matthew. For example, Matthew 24, 31, Jesus says this, "And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other." And then angels also appear in Jesus' teaching about the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. We read in Matthew 25, verses 31 and 32, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him," there are the angels again, "he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." Notice that it is God through his angels who makes the final determination. You know, it's been said that when we get to heaven, we will be surprised by some of the people we find there, right? It's also said that we're going to be surprised by some of the people who we find are not there. And that's a serious thing to think about. But you see, only God knows. We don't judge who are truly believers. That's not our role. Only God truly knows. And so this is a warning against the false confidence of those of you who may be in the church. Maybe you come every week, you're in the church, but you do not truly believe. It is an urgent call from Jesus for each of you to examine your heart and to test your faith. Have you truly repented of your sin and put your faith in Jesus for salvation? Because you see, Jesus says at the end of the age, the angels will separate the wicked from the righteous. And then he says this, he says, "They will throw the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." It's the same image we saw back in the parable of the weeds. It is a picture of everlasting pain, mourning, and regret. There will be a lot of regret in hell, especially when people realize they could have simply turned to Christ for salvation. We find similar imagery in the book of Revelation at the end of the New Testament, where we read this, "Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." The lake of fire is the second death. "If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Once again, we don't like thinking about the final judgment. We don't like it, right? But we must listen to Jesus' words and the warnings of Scripture. These teachings about judgment in Scripture, they are essential. If there is no judgment, then there is no need for salvation, right? And if there is no final judgment, that would mean that many of the wicked in this life would get away with their wickedness. If there is no final judgment, then there is no moral reckoning, and that would mean that we live in an unjust world. But God's kingdom is a kingdom of justice. And so, yes, there must be, and yes, there is a day of judgment coming. Jesus' teaching from the parable of the net is clear. At the end of the age, the angels will separate the wicked from the righteous. They will throw the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus tells the parable. Jesus explains the parable. And now that he has shared all seven, because this is the last parable in the chapter. Now that he's shared all seven of these parables of the kingdom, now he encourages his disciples and us, of course, as followers of Christ. He encourages his disciples to teach these parables to others, to share them with other people. First, though, he makes sure that they understand what they have heard. Look at Matthew 13, verse 51. "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. Remember, we've learned this. The parables are designed both to conceal and reveal. The parables are meant to conceal the truth from those whose hearts are hardened towards God, and at the same time, they are meant to reveal spiritual truth to those whose hearts are open towards God. And so Jesus asked the disciples, "Has it been revealed to you? Have you understood all these things?" The disciples answer, "Yes, we understand it." And Jesus accepts their answer at face value. You know, they may not understand everything at this point. I mean, who of us does, right? But Jesus is satisfied that they have understood the main teachings about the kingdom, about the full sweep of the kingdom from his parables. Now, remember the first parable we looked at in this series, the first parable in the chapter? The parable of the sower. The sower goes out and sows the seed, and some of the seed falls in three bad types of soil, but some of the seed falls in the good soil. Do you remember what the main difference was between the seed that grew in the good soil and the seed that fell, all the other seeds that fell in the bad soil? Here it is. Jesus said this, Matthew 13:23. He said, "But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is who? It's the man who hears and understands the word. He is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." The seed that grows in the good soil represents who? Those who hear and understand the word of God. And so Jesus wants to make sure that his disciples have heard and understood the parables. They go, "Yes, we understand." Good. They're gonna produce a crop. 160, 30-fold. They're gonna produce a good crop for God's kingdom. And then Jesus goes on and he compares all of these parables of the kingdom, these seven parables, he compares them to new treasures that an owner brings out of the storeroom along with the old. Look at verse 52 now. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." You know, this verse is, it's like a mini parable. A mini parable that sums up the disciples' responsibility and our responsibility as well concerning all the other parables. In fact, some commentators even list verse 52 as an eighth parable, one more parable in this chapter. But the focus here is on bringing new treasures out of the storeroom along with the old. Imagine this guy. He's got a storeroom. He's got all these old treasures in it, and he's had his friends over before, and he's brought them out and said, "Look at this, look at this." But now he's got some new treasures in there. And so when his friend comes over, what does he do? He says, "Let me show you the new stuff I've got now." And he brings the new things out as well. In other words, both the Old Testament and the New Testament are important. They are both the Word of God. The older teachings about God and the kingdom are still valuable and true. But now we must add to them these newer teachings about the kingdom of heaven. The newer teachings, they do not do away with the old teachings. Rather, the new teachings complete them and fulfill them. It's like Jesus said in Matthew 5:17. He said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. A teacher of the law who only knows the Old Testament, well, that teacher can only teach the law, right? But those who know the New Testament, we can also teach faith in Christ and God's grace given to us in his Son, Jesus. Notice that in this mini parable of the storeroom and the treasures, Jesus puts the new treasures before the old treasures, right? The new treasures come first. The new comes first. Why? Because we are New Testament people, right? Jesus has already come. And so we always present the old in light of the new. Notice something else here. The owner doesn't keep the treasures in the storeroom. He doesn't wait till everybody's gone and then go down, open the door, lock it behind him, and just look at all my treasures. Ooh, look at my new ones. No, he takes the treasures in the storeroom and he brings them out for other people to see. What does that mean for us? We are called to share what we have learned with others. We're called to share what we know about Christ and the kingdom with others. You don't learn about God's kingdom just for yourself. No, you learn these things in order to teach others these precious truths, to share these things with other people. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture, okay, all scripture, old and new, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know what that verse tells us? God has given you everything you need right here. He's given you everything you need in his word to teach others about the kingdom and to reach others for Jesus Christ. All scripture is useful for teaching, both the old and the new, but we emphasize which one? We emphasize the new. We focus on Jesus, and we focus on his teachings about the kingdom. The parable of the net concludes these seven parables of the kingdom, these seven parables that teach us the full sweep of the kingdom. This last parable tells us what will happen at the end of the age. When God's kingdom comes in all its fullness, the wicked will be separated from the righteous. They will be punished for their sin. Both the Old and the New Testament speak of the end of the age when this will happen. Jesus Christ is coming again. And when he comes, this present world that we know, this world will end. God's great dragnet will sweep through the earth, and not one person will escape. All people, great and small, will stand before the throne and be judged according to their works. The punishment for sin will be serious and severe. Those who reject Jesus Christ will experience eternal pain, mourning, and regret. Only those whose names are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be saved. And so what does this mean for all of us? It means that now, okay, now is the time to make your decision about Jesus, because it's going to be too late after Jesus returns or after you die. Now is the time for salvation, because when Jesus returns, that will be the time for judgment. God will make the division then, so you must make your decision now. So as we close this morning, let me simply ask you, have you trusted Jesus Christ for salvation? Have you trusted him? And if not, let me urge you, let me encourage you, let me invite you, let me welcome you, come to Jesus today. He loves you. He died for you. He is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Let's pray. Dear Lord, this is a challenging passage of Scripture. It's one of the warning passages. It's a passage about judgment and final judgment. But Lord, this is a measure of your goodness and grace to us, that you tell us what is coming. And you've shared with us how we can avoid it, how we can escape it. And Lord, the escape is something that you did yourself. You sent your own only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be saved. Oh, Lord, how we thank you for what you have done for us in Christ. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who's never trusted Jesus, that today would be the day. Today is the day of salvation. None of us has a guarantee on tomorrow, but you've given us today. And you've given us Jesus. And you've given us the free gift of eternal life in him. We only need to turn from our sin and trust Christ. Lord, I pray that for ourselves. I pray that for our family members. I pray that for our friends and co-workers, that we would know Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.